Thank you for joining us today for this life-changing message from River of Life. If you are ever in our area, we would love for you to join us. For more information, click the link down below or download our app in the App Store under ROL Crawfordville. Now, let's join Pastor Chuck Coburn as he teaches from the Word of God.
Wow, with worship like that, how can you not want to spend the rest of eternity doing that? I had a conversation with an individual this morning, and I have been called a lot of things in my life, but this was a new one. So if you're fairly new to River of Life, there's six of us that preach. And 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, our founding pastor, Brother Henry, preached. He's the father. His son, Kyle, last week preached, the son. And somebody asked me today, oh, you're preaching. Are you the Holy Spirit? So, hey, I thought, I like that. So it is good to be able to laugh and smile and enjoy. And it's I thank the Lord that he gives us a merry heart because it does good like a medicine. Back in 1912... the Summer Olympics were beginning to start up in Stockholm, Sweden. And one of the events, of course, was the marathon. And there was a famous Japanese runner by Shizo Kanakuri. He was an up-and-coming athlete. In fact, he was more prominent to win this marathon than anybody else. And, of course, everybody kind of had their eyes on him. The problem is, the day of the marathon, it was hotter than it normally was. They started running, and about 18 miles into the race, he started having a lot of physical problems, which I am told for those who run marathons, that at mile 18, your whole body begins to go through a lot of things. His body began to become very fatigued. He became very nauseous, very weak. He felt like he wasn't going to be able to run, so what he did was he took a break. He sat down for a moment. And the more he sat down, the more he realized, he says, I don't think I'm going to be able to finish this race. So rather than telling any of the Olympic officials that he was stopping, he just got up and walked off. Didn't tell anybody. Not only did he get up and walked off, he got up, walked off, got his stuff, and went back home to Japan. When the event was over, they kept waiting for him, waiting for him, and they couldn't figure out why he did not finish. Because there was no official withdrawal, he just up and left. They classified it as a missing marathoner. 1912. Here's a guy that just realized, hey, I'm not going to finish. Rather than telling anybody, I'm just going to get up and leave. I got to thinking, a lot of us do that. We start something, and in the middle of it, it gets a little more challenging, and we just get up and quit. We don't finish what we start. For example, it's called the itch. There's a one-year itch, a two-year itch, it goes on. Some people have an itch, and they can be at a job maybe for a year or two, and then they're done, because maybe the job started great, had a wonderful boss, wonderful salary. The hours were incredible, but all of a sudden the job gets a little tough. Has a little bit of trials and tribulations in it. And so you quit to go find another job. Some of you know what I'm talking about. They call this the seven-year itch where people get married. And all the marriage, you know, have you ever gone to a wedding and see the bride get her picture taken? She's never going. You know, they're always happy. And I don't know, somewhere along the line, they call it the seven-year itch where finally the honeymoon period wears off. And maybe it's because of finances. Maybe it's because of children. Rather than trying to pray it through, work it out, they just quit. I've never quite understood that. I've been married for over 26 years, and I'm still in the honeymoon stage. So I'm not sure when this wears off. God has blessed me with a wonderful wife and a wonderful family. But you know what? We even do this with Jesus Christ. Some of us will come down front. God has radically saved our life, and man, it's exciting to feel the Holy Spirit and to feel the forgiveness and the freedom and the love. And then all of a sudden, a little while later, all of a sudden you start facing some difficulties in your life. Rather than seeking the Lord and praying it through it, you just quit. You just quit Jesus. You just bail out. You just let it go. And what you have to understand is that life is a marathon. The Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprinter's race. It is a race that is built upon endurance. It is a base that's going to a race that'll challenge you sometimes to the most emotional, physical, mental capacities that you have. But the reason why these things are in your life is to help grow you and build you. That's what they're for. And rather than us following the Lord and seeking the Lord during these situations, we just quit. It's sad, really. But I'll be honest with you this morning. This may be hard for some of you to imagine, but on our church roll, we have over 3,500 people on our church roll. Where are they? I can tell you where they're at. They had this wonderful encounter. It was great. And all of a sudden, the challenge of life came along, and they did like Kenna Curry did. They just up and quit and walked off. Didn't tell anybody, didn't do anything. This morning, I want to speak to you on the subject, finish the race. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. The book of Hebrews is an interesting book because it is written to a group of believers, Jewish believers. The problem is these Jewish believers are encountering a lot of persecution and a lot of trials. We read this in chapter 10 of Hebrews. But what's going on in their life is that they had an experience with Jesus. And now all of a sudden, because life's trials are facing them, they're wanting to go all the way back to their old lifestyle. They're wanting to withdraw. And so the author of Hebrews here is telling them, listen, you have to understand that we all encounter these. So to give you an idea, where I live, about 100 yards away, our founding pastor lives. And about 200 yards away, his son lives. And about another 80 yards away, one of our praise team singer lives. So I'm right in the hub of River of Life. You know the funniest thing? When it pours down rain, it not only rains on my house, it rains on their house. That's the oddest thing, isn't it? And do you realize when the sun comes out, it not only shines on my house, it shines on their house. Do you know what that should tell us? Is that each and every one of us in life are going to face a lot of challenging trials. It's not just you, it's everybody. And these challenges are done for you to help you grow and mature as an individual, help you grow and mature as a believer. Some of these are brought on by you. Some of these are brought on by the Lord. But we're all going to go through them. So the question is, if we're all going to go through a lot of trials and tribulations, how do we manage it? Hebrews tells us how. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Notice it tells us that we all run a race. You're running a race, I'm running a race. How do we do that? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, discarding the shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. There it is. We are told today how it is that you and I can finish this race called life. And not only finish it, finish it strong, and finish it victorious. He basically gives us three ways to finish this race. The first way we're told to finish this race is we got to get rid of the weight. Got to get rid of the weight. Hebrews 12:1 says this, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. We have to strip off the weight. Have you ever watched the Olympics? Ever watched those that run the 100-meter yard dash, the marathon? Do you ever see anybody show up in a three-piece suit and dress shoes? How about some woman in an evening gown and high heel shoes? Do you ever see anybody show up in like combat boots and fatigues? No. Why? Because if you're going to run a race, you have to strip down basically to the bare essentials to run the race. Because the lighter you are, the faster you are. I mean, come on. When's the last time you've turned on these world-class sprinter races or the marathons and seen some guy like me, short and fat, running it? You just don't. Why? Because athletes train really, really hard to almost get down to 0% body fat so that they can run as fast as they can. Guess what? In order for you and I to run this race called faith, we have to strip off all the weight that slows us down. Now, notice this is not something that it's immoral, it's unethical. It's just weight. It's things that just slow us down. And the lighter that you and I can become, the faster we're going to be. Back in the early 90s, I'm a big drag racing fan. My dad and I have gone to the drag races every year since I was 5 years old. We go every year. Love them. And back in 1992, the goal was to reach 300 miles an hour in a quarter of a mile. Cars back then were pushing around 5,000 horsepower. Today they push over 11,000 horsepower. But back then, the goal was to get to 300, and many men had gone to 298, 296. It was a consistent over and over again, but nobody could ever break the 300. And finally, a team got together. His name was Kenny Bernstein, and his crew chief of 10 years said, Kenny, you can go 300, but two things we're going to have to do. Number one is we're going to have to drop about another 100 pounds off the car, and number two is you're going to have to lose 20 pounds. If you will lose 20 pounds, we will break the 300-mile-an-hour record. So sure enough, Bernstein went on a diet. And on March 20th, my birthday, 1992, Kenny Bernstein went over 301 miles an hour in a quarter of a mile. But it took him losing 20 pounds. See, they realized that in order to run fast and efficient, they were going to have to lose some weight, not only on the car, but on the individual. I'm amazed that y'all probably seen this show, maybe you haven't, The Biggest Loser. They lose weight. And there's this one part and sometimes in the series where they will actually put on the weight that they've lost and tell them to run up a mountain. Some people are having to put on another 100 pounds and like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Or like, well, you did this like 8 weeks ago, you got to do it now. But they realized the more weight that got added on to them, the harder it was going to be to run. You and I need to look at ourselves this morning and say, what are the things that are in my life that are slowing me down spiritually? What are the things in my life that are weighing me down and they're keeping me from my time with Jesus? They're keeping me from Him speaking to me and helping me. Because whatever weighing you down is going to slow you down. The author of Hebrews tells us we've got to learn to strip this weight off. There's an old saying that says, if you want to travel far, you must travel light. This is a marathon. It's not a sprinter's race. And if you and I are going to travel far in this journey called faith, we've got to learn to strip off those things that are weighing us down. The problem with most of us is this. We ask ourselves a question. We say this, can I still do this and be okay with the Lord? Am I able to push the limits to here and still be okay with God? Do you see how wrong that is? You don't see a racer coming up to the thing and saying, hey, is it okay if I wear these combat boots while I run? Will this be okay? That would be stupid, wouldn't it? What makes us think that we can approach God and say, God, can I still go outside the boundaries here and be okay with you? No, you can't. Even though it may not be immorally wrong, ethically wrong, if it is keeping you from Jesus, then it's wrong. So the question you should be asking yourself is this: Lord, is what I'm doing, is it helping me to run faster with you and for you, or God, is it slowing me down? That's it. And if it's slowing you down, drop it. Let it go. Let it go. We've got to learn to let the weight go. But not only do we have to let the weight go, we also need to stop sinning. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this way, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Paul, the author of Hebrews, says, not only do we let go of the weight, you got to let go of the sin. So sin is basically what we call cheating. Do you realize you can't cheat on God? Because if you cheat on God, is he going to be okay with it? And the answer is no. Because if you cheat on your spouse, are they going to be okay with it? And the answer would be no. If you cheat on your test at school, is your teacher going to be okay with it? And the answer is going to be no. And any time we sin, it's going to trip us up. It's going to bring us down. And the sin not only hurts you, it hurts everybody else around you. So for us to run this race of life and be powerful in the journey, we got to let go of the sin. We've got to quit asking the Lord to forgive us. And we've just got to start being obedient. And if you don't think sinning works, why don't you ask Lance Armstrong? Remember the famous bicyclist, won all the Tour de France, Tour de Lance? Found out he was doping and took all of his awards away from him. You remember Reggie Bush? Reggie Bush was a Heisman Trophy winner. 5 years later, they found out that Reggie had been getting a lot of endorsements from different companies. So they came back and they took his Heisman Trophy away from him. Because when you cheat, you will be punished. When you cheat, you will face the consequences. When we sin, it will not only hurt us, it will hurt those around us. So don't think right now you're sinning and you're getting away with it, because you're not. Just want to be honest with you, you're not. It will catch up with you later. I promise you. One of the saddest stories in my life was when I used to coach out at Wakulla High School. I coached wrestling. We had a young man there. His name was, and I'm not going to tell you his name. I'm going to leave that off. He came in as a freshman. Gifted wrestler. In fact, he always stayed after practice. He worked as hard as he could work. What was interesting was that this freshman only lost 2 matches his freshman year. He lost to the same kid at regionals and at state. Then, as a sophomore, he faced this kid again and pinned him in the second period. This guy went his entire high school career only lost 2 matches. Set about every record you could set. I mean, he was phenomenal. College after college after college wanted him. He signed with one of the top colleges in the nation, Iowa. Iowa's one of the top wrestling colleges in the nation back in the early 2000s. But the problem was, after he graduated, he got around the wrong group of guys. And one night, they went to a bar, and they had a little too much to drink. And he wound up beating a guy pretty bad, beat him up pretty bad. He got arrested. And because he got arrested, his scholarship got taken away. And then his scholarship got taken away, he started going down the wrong road. Guys, in his late 20s, he OD'd and died. A young man that had so much of a promising future. Nicest guy you would ever meet. Dedicated, disciplined in his athletics. But he got mixed up with the wrong crowd, got messed up with the wrong thing, and it took his very life. You see, in order for us to finish this race of faith, we got to weigh, strip everything down. We got to go as bare essentials as we can with the Lord. We got to stop sinning. And third, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says this. How do we do this? How do we finish this race? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. That's it. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the goal. Let's be honest. Have you ever sat down and read a book? And you've read about 2-3 pages, and after 2-3 pages you go, I don't know what I read. You just kind of go off in limbo. You just kind of, some of you look at me like you've never read a book before. Okay, well, for those of us who have, we've all done that. We've all read a book. And about 2-3 pages in, we forget what we, because we got sidetracked. We lost focus of what we were reading. Now, if we wanted to be a little more personal, some of you have done this. I've done this. I'll be honest. I've sat down and read my Bible before, and I've got through a whole chapter and had no clue what I read. Because my brain left Jesus and went somewhere else. Then I had to apologize and go back and start reading again. Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. How many of you ever done this? You're driving, and all of a sudden you get a text or something's on the radio, and you start looking at that text or that radio. The eyes should be on the road, but you're looking here, and you don't even know how long time has gone. Only by the grace of God, I've survived. I don't know how long I've looked at like a phone or something and then looked up and thinking, I'm still in my lane. Thank you, Jesus. You've done that, haven't you? You've taken your eyes off what you should be looking at when you should be focusing on that very thing. We have to stay focused on Jesus. Jesus should be the focus of everything in our life. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're a plumber. It doesn't matter if you're a painter, a teacher, a student, a house mom. It doesn't matter. Everything in life should be evolved around and focused on one thing only, and that is Jesus Christ. And if it is on Him, you will be successful. If it's on Him, you will finish what you start. If it's on Him, nothing can come against you that will bring you down. I play golf. And a golf ball basically has anywhere from about 300 to 500 what they call little dimples on it. They're little dots. And when you swing at the ball, they tell you not to focus on the ball, but to focus on one of those dots. Now, I'm not sure why this happens, but every now and then when I swing, I close my eyes. And I realize that closing my eyes, the effective rate of hitting that golf ball goes way, way down. I'm not sure why. I just do that. And every now and then I pick my head up. I want to look up to see where the ball is going to go, when the ball never went because I didn't look at it when I swung. I have to focus on that little dot, because the key to hitting a golf ball successfully starts with you looking very focused at a certain part of that ball. So let's go back. We're running a marathon here. I had the privilege this past week of talking to somebody in our church that has run a couple marathons. And this person was telling me that in the very first marathon they were running, they said, my goal was to run it under 4 hours. I want to basically have a 9-minute mile. Of course, my idea of a marathon is just making it basically from the house out to the truck. But 20, you know, running that 26-mile marathon. And I said, how did you do that? They said, well, what I did was when the marathon first started, I focused on somebody, and I found a lady in front of me, and I knew this lady was going to be fast. And they said, all I did was I got behind her and I kept my eyes on her the whole time. When she would run faster, I would run faster. When she would run slower, I would run slower. I just kept my eyes on her because I knew that if I focused on her, she would help me win. She would help me run that 9-minute mile. But the problem came up about 18 miles in. You know, the body begins to fatigue. Things begin to happen. Some people, when they run the marathon, they'll stop and take a break. And this person said, I realized that if I stopped, that if I took a break, I would never do what I intended to do. So what this person said was, I just endured the pain, and I just continued on. And when it was all said and done, I ran the marathon under 4 hours. But what I found interesting, this person said, I never took my eyes off her, and I was able to finish the race. Church, the only way you're ever going to make it in this journey called life is you got to keep your eyes on Jesus and never take them off. That's it. When we take our eyes off the Lord, trouble is going to come, I promise you. But not only do we have to strip the weight down, not only do we have to quit sinning and keep our eyes on Jesus, there's some encouragement here. Because the Bible tells us that there is a crowd that will cheer you on. There is a crowd that will help you out. Let's go back to Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge crowd, notice it's not a small crowd. It would be like you going into, they tell me that like, you can look at all these different football stadiums. I think one of the hardest football stadiums to play in college ball today is LSU at night. It's one of the most, one of the stadiums you never want to go in and play to at night just because of the crowd. But notice, guys, we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Now, what that does not mean, it does not mean that you've got people in heaven looking down trying to cheer you on. Because let's be honest, if people were looking down from heaven at you, they would not be cheering you on. They'd be shaking their head going, oh my goodness, what are you doing? So what does that mean? What it means is there is a witness that has already gone before you. There is a witness that's already done what you're going through. And there's a witness that says, I, through the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, was able to do what God called me to do, and you can do what God's called you to do. For example, some of you this morning are probably getting ready to graduate high school. Some of you are trying to go to a new job, and you don't even know anything about the future. The future is kind of a mystery to you right now. You're a little iffy on what goes on in the future. Well, there was a man by the name of Abraham. And God said, hey, listen, Abraham, I want you to leave. But I'm not going to tell you where to go. So Abraham packed up all of his belongings. He stepped out on faith, not having a clue where he was moving his wife and his family to. He just says, we're going to trust the Lord. And I'm going to follow him because he's been a faithful God to me all my life. And Abraham, not knowing where he went, stepped out in faith, followed Jesus. And yet, here we are talking about him thousands of years later. See, if you don't know where you're going today, if you'll trust Jesus, he'll lead you there. Because he did that for Abraham, he'll do it for you. How about you're working in a hostile environment right now? A lot of negative people. The language is bad. The work environment's bad. And let me tell you what, you want to quit probably. Don't you ever quit anything until God tells you to quit. That's when you quit. Okay? Never. God will tell you when to quit. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand how rough it is. What goes on in my work environment? Well, to be honest with you, I don't at this point in my life. I work with the best people on planet Earth. I have a wonderful group of people that surround me. I love the people I work with. But for those who don't have that environment, there was a man that was told to build a boat in the middle of the desert. And for 120 years, people would come by and mock him. Let me guess this right, buddy. You're building a boat in the middle of the desert? Have you been out in the desert too long? Over and over, people would criticize him and mock him. But do you know what Noah did? Noah didn't listen to them.
He listened to Jesus. And the Lord says, Noah, you build this ark and I'll save you. Today, do not listen to the negativity at your work. Listen to the Lord and what he tells you to do. Some of you this morning say, well, Pastor, I'm facing impossible odds. I need a miracle. And it's only going to be by the grace of God and a miracle that it'll happen. Well, guess what? There's a story in the Bible just like that. There was a woman that was way beyond her childbearing years. In fact, she was 90 years old. And God blessed her with a baby because God is a God of the impossible. So if you're facing the impossible this morning, know that God helped Sarah with the impossible. He will help you with the impossible. See, quit thinking you can't do something when the Lord can help you do anything and everything he so chooses. But you got to trust him and follow him and allow him to lead you in that very direction. I know you're facing some giants right now in your life. I get it. You may not have killed Goliath, but you have giants. And trust me, if David killed Goliath, God will help you kill the giants in your life. Okay? Now when you read the story about David, we read that David didn't come out and say, hey, I've killed lions and bears and I got my slingshot, buddy, I'm ready for you. No, David says, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. When you face your giant today, when you face your giant tomorrow, if you go by yourself, cha-ching, you're dead. Face them in the name of the Lord and you'll be amazed how he'll conquer your giants. Are you facing some impossible odds this morning? You seem to be overwhelmed. You don't understand, Pastor Chuck, I'm overwhelmed with kids, with job, with everything. I get it. You're overwhelmed. There was a man in the Bible that was overwhelmed. He took 300 men, only 300 men, and he killed 135,000 soldiers. Woo! 300, 135,000. That just doesn't make any sense. Well, of course it won't in the natural world. But in the spiritual world, God takes your overwhelming odds and he makes them real easy to defeat. Why? Because he's the God of all creation. So whatever your odds are today, know that the odds really got in your favor when Jesus walks with you. How about this? You're facing some temptations. They keep dragging you down. They keep breaking you down. We're told about a man that rather than submitting to the pleasures of life, he rather chose to suffer the pains with his people. That was Moses. Moses says, Lord, I'm not going to submit myself to these pleasures of sin. I'd rather stand firm in Christianity. So if I was going to modernize it, what Moses did said, God, I am not going to follow the world. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, and I'm going to be bold about it. So today, if you're struggling with temptations, guess what? Moses struggled with temptations and Jesus gave him victory. He'll give you victory. How about this? Some of you keep wanting to move forward. And every time you go to move forward, your past kind of lurks its way back up. How could God ever use you? Look at all the things you've done. How could you even be successful there? Don't let your past dictate your future. Because you're not that person you were yesterday. You're the person you are today. Rahab. We all know Rahab as the what? Harlot, prostitute. Notice that. That's how we know her. And she didn't go, well, see, I've done some really bad things. I've been a prostitute. God can't use me. I'm done. No, she stepped out on faith and she said, I may have been this way, but today I am this way. And through my faith in the Lord, I will help his people out. And think about that. Thousands of years later, we're talking about a woman who had a dirty past. God helped her, and now she has a bright, wonderful future. Don't you dare let the enemy destroy your future. Your past may have been rough, but your future can be bright. If he did it for Rahab, he can do it for you. Amen? Well, Pastor Chuck, life's just unfair. Everybody always gets the breaks and I don't. Why is it that everybody gets all these breaks and I don't? I don't know. But I know you can get a break. Because you see, there was a young man in the Bible that his brothers didn't like him. In fact, they hated him. They sold him into slavery. He had to work as a slave. And then when he finally got out of slavery and promoted, some woman lied about him. Then he had to go to prison. He spent 13 years in what we call the unfair life. Because we know for 13 years, he never abandoned his faith in the Lord. He trusted God with all of his heart. But for 13 years, this is what was going on in his life. But you know what? After 13 years, God made him second in command of Egypt. Your life may seem unfair right now, but if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, he's going to bring you through this. And he's going to bless you for it. You just have to keep your eyes on him. Some of you today are beat down. You're worn down. You're wore out. You're like, I've tried, Pastor Chuck. I just have no strength anymore to even try to live anymore. Don't do that. If you're here today, I promise you, your tomorrow is going to be brighter. See, because there was a story in the Bible by a man named Samson that had made a lot of mistakes. And all he prayed was, Lord, give me enough strength to be able to push these pillars out to destroy my enemies. Pray today that God will give you the strength to overcome the battles you're facing, and he will. If he gave it to Samson, what must you think he won't give it to you? He'll give it to you. How about this? Some of us have tried and tried, but we've really given no effort or energy into it. We've tried and it just didn't work, so we feel like it's never going to work. What you need to do is you need to be like Jacob. Jacob was getting in his mind, he thought he was going to be killed the next day. And the night before, the Bible tells us he wrestled the Lord. But he didn't let go. In fact, the Lord said, let me go. And Jacob said, nope, not till you bless me. Notice the wrestling match wasn't a 2 minute, not even a 6 minute. And if anybody's ever wrestled, 6 minutes seems like an eternity. The Bible tells us that he wrestled with him all night long. Why? Because Jacob was desperate enough for Jesus to say, I won't let you go till you bless me. Are you letting go of the Lord this morning? Will you let him bless you? You may have to hang on to him. How about this? If you'll look around this church, there are many of us today that can testify that we have faced a lot of heartaches in our life. And it's only through the love and the grace of Jesus Christ that we've made it through. We are a testimony. I am a testimony that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is real, and he will see you through everything in life you want to go through. I promise you. You just got to trust him. Keep your eyes on him. The impossible is never impossible with the Lord. He can do anything and everything he so chooses in your life. The question is, will you allow him? That's the question. Are you going to look back at yesterday and grovel in all of your adversities? Or are you today going to say, nope, I'm going to strip down the weight. I'm going to quit sinning. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. And if God, you can do it for these people Pastor Chuck has just mentioned. And by the way, the people I'm mentioning, you can read it back in chapter 11 of Hebrews. This is the faith chapter. That chapter is written so you and I will be encouraged to know that we can do anything and everything through him. You remember my Olympic runner, Shizo Kanakuri, that quit? 50 years later, they found him. And because there was never an official withdrawal, at 76 years old, he journeyed from Japan back over to Sweden and finished the marathon. Finished it. Slowest record ever. It is dated 54 years, 8 months, 5 hours, 32 minutes. He finished his race. The question is this morning, will you finish your race? Here's how you finish your race. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Do you know how you're going to finish your race this morning? It's only allowing Jesus to grab you and mold you and make you into the person you need to be and allow him to perfect that very thing. Jesus is in all through you. You just don't realize this. Go ahead and pull the picture up. This is laminin. It's what keeps our blood cells together. It's a protein molecule. Do you realize the shape that this protein molecule's in? It's in the shape of a what? Do you realize it is the cross that keeps our physical body together? It's the cross that keeps you moving and thinking and being the person you are. Physically. Without laminin, we would all not be around. Next picture. This is what keeps you going spiritually. It's only the cross of Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you'll say, I'm done. I'm done trying this by myself. I'm done being a quitter. This morning, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to step out of my chair this morning, and I'm going to start my race. And the way I'm going to start my race of life this morning, I'm going to come to this altar. And I'm going to let go of some things out of my life. I realize, Pastor Chuck, there's some things in my life I need to let go of. We'll come to this altar this morning. Let them go. We'll have pastors here that'll pray for you, that'll help you. This morning, you need to get back into the race. Maybe you started your Christian journey, and right now you're so far away from God, you couldn't even probably find him if you wanted to. You'll find him this morning right here at the altar, if you'll come back to him. Maybe you've never started the race. And it's time you say, you know what, Jesus? Today's your day. I'm tired of running from you, Lord. I'm no longer going to run from you. I'm going to run to you. We're running a marathon, church. Christ wants us to finish the race. The only way we can finish it is we got to get in the race and finish it. And let me just encourage you with this. Although Abraham and David and Noah and Sarah and Samson, all those aren't around today, your River of Life family is around here today for you. And if you'll join our church, come this morning and say, I want to join the River of Life family. I want to be a part of this family so that I can be encouraged by you, so that I can encourage you. That's the only way we're going to win. Are you tired this morning of starting things and quitting? Well, don't. This morning, start by stepping out of this aisle, coming forward and saying, Jesus, today I'm going to make you Lord. Jesus, today I'm going to lay things down at this altar that's weighing me down from running my race of faith. Or Jesus, I'm coming today because I want to join River of Life because I need encouragement. I need a great crowd of witnesses to encourage me. You see, you have no excuse this morning. No matter where you're at in life this morning, there is no excuse. Because whatever excuse you have, Jesus has already taken care of that excuse through people of faith. So are you tired of losing? Are you tired of coming up short? And are you tired of feeling bad? Then why don't you come forward this morning and run the race of faith with me, with this church family, so that we can finish stronger than we've ever finished before. But you got to be bold enough to step out and run it. And the first step you'll take this morning is coming to this altar. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that your words have been heard, the enemy has been quieted, and Holy Spirit, you will move mightily. I pray today that we will finish what you've started in our life. Father, I pray today that we will not quit you. I pray today, Lord, we will run fervently, wholeheartedly, because we're keeping our eyes on you. Lord, today, help us to let go of the past. Help us to let go of our failures, Lord. Help us to let go of the world and hold on to you so that we can run and run victorious. Father, today, may it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message from River of Life. If this message has touched you today, or if you need someone to pray with, please contact us at 850-926-1200 or email us at info@ rolcrawfordville.com. We also want to encourage you to visit us this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. in Crawfordville. Please visit us online at rolcrawfordville.com for more information and directions.